Valley Sea today.
Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. Now, you know how we roll here. We kind of zig and zag all over the place. Some great interviews coming up, including Jeff Atticott shedding some light on what happened with the Navy SEALs, our role in Afghanistan, and from a very, very conservative former military man, I think you'll be surprised what he thinks the end game should be in that country. Right from the start, one of the big things that happened on the day on Monday to start off the week with a kick in the pants is the Dow dropping 630 points. I think this is what many people expected because of the negative news with the Standard & Poor's downgrade in our credit rating. This is the first of, I believe, a series of things that we're going to have to deal with as a result of that. The president says that the problems, our problems, are solvable, but nobody's been able to solve them. So when he says that, I say there's like a 5% chance that they're solvable right now. And everybody's going to feel that pressure, which I think people are already feeling, as we see what's happening with the jobs being cut and with a lack of job opportunity. There's not a lot of ways to get around that. I mean, you have to have the money to survive. You've got to be able to feed the family. You've got to be able to start a career when you get out of college and pay back your student loans. And hopefully, if you were lucky enough, you didn't have any student loans. But most people, or most college kids, aren't in that situation. So there are a million stories in the Naked City. There are a million stories across the country of hardship from young to old to in between. And it's really starting to scare people. It's really starting to shake the base, the foundation for a lot of people. And I don't blame anyone who feels that way. What has happened lately that's given any of us any confidence that, yeah, absolutely, that we're turning this around? Not that I don't want to see it happen. I mean, of course, if we can turn the corner right now, today, rather than another year from now, that'd be much better. The people that are trying to get President Obama elected again aren't stupid. They realize that the economy has to be turned around. If it keeps going on the trend it's going and it got worse and worse and worse and worse, like the riots we're seeing in England, that wouldn't bode well for the president's chances. And there are some Democrats who believe that his chance is really a coin flip at this point. I don't know that I think that, because I still think the people, a lot of the people that voted for Obama, would be back again. But there is something to be said for the what's in your wallet comment. If there's nothing in the wallet and people are disillusioned or depressed, don't feel like even, you know, doing the things that they used to used to make them happy, and they can't afford to do them. And the more you have that black cloud flying around, the more chances I think that things will change. And, you know, it's all about political will, too, on the part of Democrats and Republicans. And do the ideologies clash? You bet they do. And the way to solve it, do they clash, going along on the same thing, piggybacking off the ideologies? Of course they do. And that's part of the problem. You got the Dow plunging 634 points. You got Freddie with his hand out, so Freddie Mac wanting a bailout. I mean, who else are we going to bail out? The people in this country don't get bailed out. I mean, how would you feel about getting a check in the mail for $10,000? Would that solve some of your problems? Of course it would. But you're not getting a bailout, but the banks are getting a bailout. The mortgage industry, some people in the mortgage industry got a bailout. And now Freddie wants to be bailed out. That's what we do. We're a nation of bailers. We all have buckets in our hand, and that's what we're doing, because it's our money. It's our government. It's our money. It's the money that we pay. It's our taxes. So we are bailing everybody out. We cannot continue to do that. And now Freddie is just the latest. Freddie needs money. Feed the beast. So I guarantee you we will feed the beast because that's what we seem to do the best in the United States of America. The United States of borrowing. I mean, it's insane. It's insanity. It's out of control. And thank goodness Tim Geithner, the Secretary of the Treasury, is going to stay in his job because he's done such a fabulous job at this point, right? No. There have to be better people that are much more equipped to handle what we need to see happen in this country economically. Clearly, we aren't a nation of dummies. Clearly, there are some people that know more than fuzzy math. Those are the people that need to be there, that need to make those suggestions, not the Tim Geithners of the world, not the Ben Bernankes, because I don't think they're doing it right. They're miscalculating at every single step and turn. And certainly there's politics involved there. So I always think it's hysterical when you have Geithner calling out politicians. He's doing the same thing. Who was Geithner attached to? What administration was Geithner attached to? Rick Perry, suddenly, when we talk about 2012 and who the opponents could be for Barack Obama, Mitt Romney is still the key guy. He seems to come up top in all the polls, but we're still far away from that. The Texas governor, Rick Perry, now is actually giving some serious thought about running. He's going to be in South Carolina for a major speech where he will probably throw up the signal, the smoke signal, that he might want to run for president too. It's not a formal campaign deal because, you know, that's when they sort of step into the ring. But he is going to come out and heavily suggest that he may have some of those presidential ambitions. He's going to meet with some Republican leaders in South Carolina. Then he's going to go to New Hampshire. You know, once you make that trek to South Carolina, New Hampshire, Iowa, I think pretty much you're kicking that door open unless you feel like the door has been shut to you. But really, you're meeting with donors and caucuses and all that kind of stuff to see if you can really make that campaign work, if you can get the money behind it that you would ultimately need, especially to run against Barack Obama, who has a lot of money backing him up. He's been to already plenty of fundraisers that are big dollar fundraisers, and even the average amounts that he's getting thousands and thousands and thousands of people to donate. So we'll see if Perry, what happens to Perry. We'll pay attention to the polls, of course, and see how he starts to show up, because if he's going to do it fast, if it happens, it'll be before Labor Day, I would think. The exact date, who knows, but I would say we're looking at, you know, less than a month maybe for Rick Perry to make that final decision, and yet there is another person throwing their hat in the ring for the Republicans. Hang with us. We're turning it over to the B-side here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you're hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. Do you have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
Question: can functional magnetic resonance imaging be used to read our minds? Author Jose Collazo answers yes in his two new books, America's New Slavery. For more than 13 years, author Jose Collazo has been trying to prove that the U.S. government has the capacity to read a person's thoughts with a revolutionary technology known as fMRI, functional magnetic resonance imaging, and there is proof that it exists. America's New Slavery explores this technology and its many possible applications in national security. Who has access to it? How is it being used? Does America's salvation rest in this technology? These and many other questions are answered in America's New Slavery, the new books by Jose Collazo, available on BN.com, Amazon.com, and Borders.com. America's New Slavery. All Americans should be concerned.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Still a very, very sad couple of days for so many people across the nation, really. We can feel the effects, but the families of all of those SEALs, and in fact, the 30 Americans who lost their lives on early Saturday morning in Afghanistan when that helicopter went down and the Taliban taking responsibility for it, now all the aftermath and of course, the conversation about the Chinook and the SEALs, because so many SEALs, SEALs specifically from the same unit that went in that covert operation and back in May and took out Osama bin Laden, not the same SEALs, but from the same unit. What a horrible, horrible thing for these men to go through and their families, those that are left behind, meaning the others that are in that unit. So who better to bring on the show than our terrorism expert, Jeff Atticott, who you might have seen quoted in the Wall Street Journal. He certainly knows his stuff and knows a lot about the Navy and procedures and whatnot. Jeff, just I guess initially I was stunned by it because the numbers kept getting higher and higher. I kept getting text hits from someone I knew in Washington that was telling me the numbers were getting higher, and I was like, wow, I can't believe how many SEALs were actually on that Chinook. Is that surprising to you? I guess that's standard operating procedure, though.
Well, there's going to be a full investigation, and I don't want to do a shameless plug, but the Wall Street Journal in today's paper had an excellent article, very in-depth analysis of exactly what happened. And what we saw here is that we had some Rangers, Army Rangers, that were in a firefight with some of the insurgents. They called in for help, and the Chinook loaded up with the SEALs and some other special operations forces, about 30-plus American forces altogether, and some Afghan soldiers also on the Chinook. Now, Chinook is a gigantic cargo helicopter, if you will. It has two blades on each end, and it's like a flying coffin. If it gets hit, it doesn't glide down. It goes straight down to the ground and like a rock. And so many of these people were probably killed because of the crash itself. We usually try to conduct these missions in stealth and have the element of surprise, but the bad guys aren't waiting on you because it is a flying coffin. In this case, though, they were coming into a hot LZ, as we say, landing zone, hot fire zone. The bad guys knew that we call in reinforcements by air. So they probably had some folks out on the perimeters, and with RPGs, rocket-propelled grenades, held by, you know, a single person can fire it, and brought this this Chinook down. So it was tragic the way it occurred, but it really rubricates or underscores a lot of people, you know, opinions about what are we doing in Afghanistan, because it causes us to look at the larger strategic picture.
Absolutely. And you and I have talked about this all along with Afghanistan. How many times have you talked about the play being in Pakistan and what are we doing and what was the end game and all that sort of stuff? And now 2014 is supposedly when everybody's going to be gone as far as our troops on the ground. And I think you're right. I think it absolutely shines a light on this. Tell us about a little bit more about the SEALs, because the SEALs are certainly the elite fighting team, covert team of the Navy. We saw that in the case of Osama bin Laden and the SEALs that took him out in that operation. And as I said, this is part of that same group. Wow. I mean, this just decimates this corps, doesn't it?
Well, it's devastating, but more of a psychological blow. There's about all told about 8,000 special operations forces, which include the Rangers and the Green Berets, the Navy SEALs, Air Force assets in Afghanistan of the 100,000 plus force. So we rely very heavily on our special operations forces, and the Navy SEALs and the Army Green Berets are probably in the Delta forces, the elite of the elite. These men realize that, you know, that they could very well die or get maimed on any particular mission. They're all volunteers, so they live with that all the time. So it's not a devastating blow to the military part of it, even though our forces are stretched very thin. It's more of a psychological blow to the team. Very tragic. And of course, the Taliban is spinning this. If you look at their websites and their propaganda, they're saying that, you know, they killed the Navy SEALs, they killed Osama bin Laden. Therefore, it's interpreted as a good omen from Allah.
That's a good question to ask you in the follow up to this. I heard a retired colonel saying that they took aim and shot at the Chinook, and they didn't know that the Navy SEALs were there. And that's not true. That he didn't believe that at all, that they had any information ahead of time. What do you think?
No, I don't think they had any information ahead of time. They knew that reinforcements at the most, I'll give them this, that they probably knew that if they have the Army Rangers in a tough position, they know that more reinforcements are coming, and those things come through the air because there are no roads in Afghanistan. You can't get men in to support other men that are in combat unless you do it by air. So they were, you know, if they knew that, and they probably did, then that's the most I'll give them. But, of course, now that the information has been released, of course, they are omniscient, and they knew it all along, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the other little secret here that's not being told the American people is about our overall mission in Afghanistan. Obama wants to, of course, train the Afghan military to take over the missions that we're doing. And in many, many cases in Afghanistan, we secure a particular area, we build fortifications, we turn it over to the Afghan, and a day or two later, the Afghans leave, and the Taliban come right back into those areas and say, basically, thank you for building these little forts for us, and they reoccupy them. It's not working, the strategy of training the Afghans, and it's not going to work by 2014. There's no way.
Yeah, and saying that it's not going to work by 2014, would you have rather seen, and I think I know the answer to this, too, because of our conversations, that why were we continuing to go down this path? Wouldn't it have been better to pull these guys out sooner now? Instead, this is that was our worst day, losing 38 altogether in the helicopter that went down. 22 Navy SEALs that were part of the Navy SEAL Team 6 packed into that transport helicopter. Doesn't this just scream, wow, this is what happens when you continue to beat a path that is not going to change anything, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can kill these people and stack them like cordwood, and we do. But there's, for every one we kill, there's two or three more to take their places. So it's not a matter of how many can you kill. There's an infinite number of these people that pledge allegiance to the Taliban ideology, whether you want to call them Al-Qaeda, Taliban, radical Islamic extremists, and they know that we're leaving, and so they're stepping up their attacks. They're going to claim victory. It's a non-winnable situation in our current strategy. But yes, the president should have declared victory, as I said before, last time when I was on your show. He should have declared victory after we killed Osama bin Laden. done the mission accomplished speech, and immediately withdrawn. That way we could leave with victory. Now, when we leave, whatever that date is, and it keeps shifting, the enemy's going to say, hey, we won. You didn't win. We drove you out, because there's no clear signpost that we can point to now that we could say that we've achieved a victory, because the president has dithered again, waited too long to announce the mission accomplished speech, and no one's going to believe him now. They would have, and the world would have bought that narrative if he would have made that speech, right after the death of Osama bin Laden. He should have done it then.
Yeah. Hamid Karzai is, of course, saying that, oh, now, you know, maybe we could use a little bit more reinforcements to continue to make that transformation, that transition, et cetera, with our military. So he's kind of even hedging, as you said, that date's fluctuating. 2014 was supposed to be it. And you even have, of course, they're in a recess now, but some in Congress who were reacting and saying, see, we need to stay there longer. Wow. Do you think there's a chance they would push this into, you know, 2015, 2016?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, many people on the wrong side of history. Many conservatives support our military. I'm a conservative. I support the military 100%, but not if we're not going to achieve a victory. It's like Vietnam all over again. We know we can win on the ground, but there's no path to victory here. So conservatives turned against the Vietnam War near the end because they're saying, what are we doing? Why are we fighting this war? We're getting our people killed, and yet we're not taking the war to North Vietnam and crushing them. That's how you win a war. That's, you know, you don't win a war by taking and holding ground. You win a war on the offensive. But in this war, of course, the enemy is Al-Qaeda, and it's very hard to declare victory unless you have a sign of victory. And when we killed Osama bin Laden, wow, that was handed to the president on a silver platter, a way to get out with honor, with dignity, with victory, mission accomplished, and he had no idea. Deer in the headlights, didn't know what he was doing. Still does.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you there. I think that's just such a huge part of the problem. One last one, Jeff. We see what happened to this SEAL team, and we know that this is the sad part about it, but I think that they should be honored. So they come back. Would it be protocol, because I can't seem to find this out, I'm not getting a straight answer out of Washington, would it be protocol to come through Andrews and have the coffins draped, you know, with the American flag? I mean, will we see this with this much loss of life?
You know, they just come through Delaware or Andrews Air Force Base, and I believe that the Obama administration has, I don't know what their policy is on photographing the coffins coming back. I know there was an issue about that, but I simply do not know. I can do some research, but off the top of my head, I do not know what the protocol would be.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I think they're kind of playing that close to the vest, to be honest. Jeff Atticott, terrorism expert, thanks so much, as always, sadly in this case, for joining us here on America Tonight.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to herbalhealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver, the best pharmaceutical grade available at all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with Uhimbe and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 cap summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps, summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at herbalhealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I found from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
A brother won't listen. No one will be here. I just came to watch my LED.
Life Before the Collapse. Vinyl LP by the Lost Vegas. Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. I've sunshiny.
Here we are in America tonight, looking for the sunshine, let me tell you. After the day it was on Wall Street, what a kick in the head that was, although all of us knew it was going to happen. Here's the thing, and I said this right from the get-go, this is what's topping odds and ends coming out of that conversation with Jeff Atticott. The Congress is out for 5 weeks, so they scurry back like cockroaches, and the super committee gets together, and they try to see if they can come up with something that has to be done in order to get us closer to the black, although we're so far away from the black, it's not even worth discussing a balanced budget. It's getting through this tunnel economic worries, right? And one of the things that's probably going to be on the table, and we know this, we've had people on talking about this before, Saul Album for one, and some others have come on, and in this course of what do you think is going to be out there, how are they going to close this up? You know, the tax breaks. What do the tax breaks add up to? And with individuals and, of course, corporate taxes. So what probably could go away? Let me run this by you and see how you feel about this. Do you use, for example, do you use the mortgage tax deduction. It's the second biggest one, $89 billion a year. How about 401ks? You know, I know myself, I've done this. You go into the office, and it's like the day before taxes are due or the week of, and there's tons of people that are at Scott Trade or any of these brokerage places because people are trying to hurry up. They got some money together, and they're trying to get them in the 401k. And you can do that. So $1,000, $2,000, I think it's up to $4,000 now that you put into your 401k that you can write off on your taxes. So they're thinking of closing that one, closing the home mortgage one, which is a killer for so many people. Charitable contributions, that's another one. And, of course, then taxes, like your local taxes and state taxes. That's another one. The problem is some people are thinking upper class. It's not. A lot of what I just mentioned are middle class people that need those deductions, right, that have counted on that. And if you're a charity, that's one of the things they push. Oh, it's a tax write-off. It's a tax write-off. Whether or not you go to donate clothes to the Salvation Army and it adds up to $100, or you actually support a child somewhere, or, you know, you give a certain amount of money during the holidays. People, that's people that run charities count on that tax write-off thing. So that could be pretty rough for some of the charities who are already having a tough time. They're not getting the kind of money that they need in many cases to be able to help as many people as they've helped in the past, in other words. So these deductions, if these deductions become part of the tax revenue, because the Democrats are saying, we want money, we want revenue, and if you're in this tug of war and they're not going to have any kind of tax rate increases, I think that's what's going to happen. And I don't think that's a secret. I think there's a lot of economists who probably said that that's what would happen. The thing is, I think that a lot of people that would get jammed up in this, honestly, would be the middle class again. So, in a sense, it would be as though they were getting a tax increase, because they would be getting a tax increase. The little bit that they can write off, they wouldn't be able to write off. Still no solution to any of this. This is a big story that I think deserves talking about. Warren Jeffs, to me, they can't do enough to punish this nutball. He's the guy who ran the polygamous sect, right? How many people were involved or under the spell of Warren Jeffs? Like 10,000 people. So you know the story and how it goes. This was actually played in court, and I think this sealed the fate for Warren Jeffs, because he faces a possibility of life in prison for assaulting two young girls, supposedly child brides, 112, 115. Well, the sentencing phase of his trial is supposed to finish this week. What happened, one of the things that happened is they played a tape that Jeffs had. They played a tape that the FBI actually had that Jeffs had made that was telling these young, I mean, kids, graphic instructions on how to please their husbands. And on the tape, you can hear that he's breathing heavy, and he's had sex with all these young girls who were kids. I mean, he's like a sick pedophile. So that just tossed the jury. They were obviously going to give it to him after that. After they listened to that tape, and I didn't realize that they had that tape sealed his fate. And, you know, you hear this is the third straight day that they've gone through the sentencing phase. And of course, Warren Jeffs says kooky, nutty things and tries to disrupt the whole process, but it's not going to work. He can carry his 5 legal pads in and shuffle along in his suit and do whatever, but they're going to sentence him. And on the tape, it wasn't just those two girls, by the way. It was 5 girls all together. Oh, sickening. Just sickening. So in the world of fair or foul, what do you think that this guy should get? Well, of course, I mean, life. Does anyone think he shouldn't get life? But even beyond that, and I didn't think about this until I was wondering about the sentencing and why it was taking so long, because he keeps disrupting it. And it's true. Where are the parents? What kind of nuts are these parents that they allowed this to happen? There's something to the power Warren Jeffs had over these people, over all these polygamists that he brought together. Because how would any man let his 12-year-old daughter be in this situation? But yet nothing happens to the parents. The parents don't get slammed with anything. The parents just idly stand by. Isn't it their responsibility, in a sense? Well, no, not in a sense. It is. It is their responsibility. I can't even imagine. So that tape, that training tape for these girls, that shut the door on him. And now that the world knows that was part of what went on in that courtroom, I think that was the final nail in the coffin for him. And, you know, was he a brainwasher? How did this wacko get these people to go along in this congregation to be under his spell? He could be, I think when you list cult leaders and think of the all-time biggest cult leaders in our history, you're going to have to put Warren Jeffs on that list. Nothing is too good for punishing this sicko. And shame on those parents who allowed this to happen. How a parent would let that go on, I have no answers for it. I have no answers for it. Somebody told me, and I had a conversation with somebody about this today because we were talking about Jim Jones. We had a guest a couple of weeks ago who was pushing to solve the whole Jim Jones mystery, knew things were wrong with Jim Jones, tried to get people to do something about it, and nobody jumped on it. But you think of Jim Jones, you think of control issues, you think of preying on people, and sadly, religion has been at the center of this many, many times. So here we go again with Warren Jeffs. He just has to go away forever. I mean, there's really nothing they can do other than throw the book at him, I think. And all of the children. The state of Texas, remember, went in and removed all the kids they could find. But a U.S. judge in that area in San Angelo, Texas, said that the state had no kind of a standing for their removal. We also had a guest on who was one of those lawyers. We had two guests on. There were lawyers for those kids, and they were voluntarily doing that. And now they're back in the same, you know, they're back in that situation. So the kids that were removed and put with families were put back in the custody of their parents. I think that's a big, big mistake. And remember, this was the YFZ Ranch, as it was nicknamed. And these kids who then come out and really have no idea what it's like to live a so-called normal life were just sheltered in a sick way, I think, in this ranch. So Warren Jeffs should get everything they could possibly give him, and then some. How that was allowed to go on for as long as it did, at least they got him, I guess, right? Coming up, another For Your Health. You're going to love this one. Rick Perry, who's deciding whether or not he's going to run for president. Lo and behold, I think he really, really wants to do it now. I wasn't so sure the governor of Texas was going to go in that direction. Talks about a back operation he had using stem cells. We're going to talk to a doctor about that next on ATN.
You've been lied to. Lied to by the Wall Street propaganda machine, the government, and the talking heads in the media. The market is in for another crash. Real estate is already in a double-dip recession, and if you want to keep your hard-earned money safe, this message is for you. My name is Brett Kitchen, and after losing 35% of my money when the market crashed, I said enough is enough. I searched and discovered a way to safely grow my money, participate in potential double-digit gains, but also have my money protected when the crashes come. Plus, it could save you thousands in taxes. I want you to get a free copy of my new book, Safe Money Millionaire, where I share this powerful tool that people like Walt Disney and JCPenney used to safely grow their wealth. Call 1-800-675-1640 right now to get your free copy. Again, that's 1-800-675-1640. I'm giving away a limited number of copies today, so call 1-800-675-1640.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including turtle tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot turtle tufts to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in 2 sizes. Get your Turtle Tough Shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are known to be connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Health on this version of America Tonight. Check this out. It's about stem cells. Did you know that Rick Perry's back surgery included, I don't know how many people know this, the use of his own stem cell? There was a report that came out about that. And it's interesting. We've talked about stem cells and stem cell use before on this show. Who better to talk about it with than Dr. David Jenikov? He joins us once again on the show, and he is, and this is a tough title, man, he is a craniomaxillofacial surgeon. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
I think you're being kind, but I'm going to make everybody that calls in tonight say that 10 times, and if they can say it, well, I'll say, if they can say it 5 times, I'm going to give them a prize. The gist of it is you're very good at what you do. You are a plastic surgeon. You work, obviously, a lot when it comes to the craniofacial is what we're talking about. And how, when you look at stem cells, what now has happened with stem cells and this fat, what they call stem cell fat banking? Because I'm assuming this is what happened in Rick Perry's case, right?
Well, what happened in Governor Perry's case was he was involved by banking his stem cells. And then when he had his surgery, they took some of the stem cells and packed it in to the bone grafts around his spine, I believe. And also he received stem cells intravenously through his vein to promote healing at the site of his previous surgery.
And is that a common practice?
Not really. What we found out over the last probably good 10 years or so is that there are very good, viable stem cells that exist within our fat. And you can separate the fatty tissue from those stem cells and the helper cells by different processes. Those stem cells can then be expanded in culture and then used for therapy, or the stem cells with their helper cells can be used on site to promote healing, and they're pretty much anti-inflammatory cells. They cut down inflammation for overuse injuries or shoulder type, you know, overuse injuries in pitchers, things like that, which has been done recently.
Yeah, do you think we're going to see more of this, Dr. David, especially anti-inflammatory? I perked up when you said that, and I immediately, and that was what you said next, I thought about shoulders, not just for athletes, but for other people, a lot of older people, or people that just do something where they strain their shoulder because they are carrying too much weight when they're picking up heavy cases or whatever it might be. Is that something we might become more common?
I think what we're going to see, as the research is showing, that these stem cells have a lot of different activities. Depending on the problems that the patients have, as well as the way they're administered, whether they're administered systemically through an IV per se, or directly injected into the areas of injuries, whether it be knees or shoulders, or even wounds, specifically wounds, you're going to see that the effects of these stem cells turn on the body's ability to heal its own problem. And
yep.
So whether that means, and some studies have shown that by injecting these into joints that are devoid of cartilage, that the cartilage actually regrows and the patients get improved joint function. They've also shown research in heart disease, which is very promising, and the studies are currently being done in Europe, that when they inject the cells in the area of damaged muscle, the heart responds and heals faster, and those patients who can't undergo a surgery can actually have that heart muscle improve to the point where they no longer lead sedentary lives and can actually be more functional.
Wow. And this is, in your own work, are you using this a lot in with plastic surgery and whatnot? Are you having the opportunity to do that?
Well, what we do is we have an institutional review board protocol that allows us to use these stem cells and mix them with fat to enhance the reconstruction of our patients who have facial deformities or facial trauma. We know that when you add the stem cells to the fat, and the fat is used as an augmentation or to add volume to the face or reconstruct the face in areas of injury, that those stem cells work almost like an unbelievable fertilizer to improve the blood flow to that grafted fat and enhance that fat's ability to stay. So you can act, what we can do now with banking, with stem cell banking and fat banking, is we can do one operation, we can save all the fat, we can save the stem cells within that fat for later processing, and then we can treat patients on an outpatient basis regularly until they're happy with the result with only one operation.
Wow. So, again, this goes back to what you first started talking about with Governor Perry, using your own and, as you say, banking it. You have that operation, you come back, and then you're able to work on that, particularly, I would assume, well, with anything, with some of these joints that you're talking about, or in what you're doing with the face and reconstructing the face. And I like how you said it helps with the volume, because that's what I think of when somebody has some really severe injury. How do you, how is it that you work on their face, I'm sure, like a palate, to making, obviously coming up with the best results that you can come up with? I mean, has this helped the process by leaps and bounds by being able to do this in many of the cases?
Absolutely. We have a lot of patients that we take care of who have undergone multiple operations, and they have to be put to sleep and come into the hospital. With this concept of fat banking and stem cell banking, we're able to do one operation, take care of the patient initially with a mixture of stem cells and their own fat. And remember, these stem cells actually come from the patient's own fat. It's their own tissue. It's not the tissue from someone else or umbilical
right.
cords or,
mm-hmm.
or embryos. It's their own fat. It's their own stem cells from their own fat. And then that really enriches the graft, which afterwards the patients can come back to the office and get another treatment and go on about their day. I had a patient today who was treated by one of our network physicians for breast reconstruction. She underwent her initial operation. They banked her fat. She went back to the office 6 weeks later. She had more fat injected into her breast for reconstruction. She said it was fantastic. She went out to dinner. She went shopping, and it really simplified her reconstruction. So these are the kinds of things that we're able to provide patients today with the hopes of providing even better opportunities in the future as the research proves itself.
Yeah. You're talking about this, and I'm glad you made that clear. What you're saying is, look, it's your own stem cells. We've said that now a couple of times in the procedure and then banking it. And I know this is kind of this is from a layman who knows nothing about medicine or just what I'm learning as I go along in various conversations I've had with physicians and surgeons and stuff. But how many stem cells do people have? I mean, it must vary from person to person, but how many stem cells are we all walking around with?
We're walking around with a lot. we have, believe it or not, as the research looks at, there are stem cells on every hair follicle. There's a stem cell that's believed its activity is to promote the growth of your own hair. And the research is looking at how can we use our own stem cells then to repopulate or regenerate our own hair follicles and turn those stem cells that may be dormant back on. So there's a lot of stem cells in our body. And as we learn more and more about this, we begin to understand that they're regulating cells as well, and they turn things on and off that are also related to aging. And there is a belief in some circles that by administering stem cells intravenously over time, that we help our body regenerate and it prolongs healthy living.
Is the most common way the injection, or you talked about a couple of different ways to do it. I guess it depends on whether you're talking about a heart or a face. I'm kind of answering my own question, but what's the most common way to administer it?
I think right now stem cells are being used, adipose-derived stem cells, those stem cells we get from fat or even stem cells that you get from bone marrow that are processed and separated. I think they're being used mostly at site-specific injections where they're talking about knees and shoulders and joints and things like that. I think the intravenous therapy is somewhat limited because the research, although promising, and some anecdotal case studies are very fascinating and incredibly hopeful, I still think that is a lesser area of use, although I think it's growing rapidly. Unfortunately, in this country, this whole concept of usage of stem cells for therapy is kind of being bogged down at the FDA, and patients are having to fly outside the country to get therapy.
Yeah. And there isn't an age thing on this. I mean, you could use this on a child. You could use it on any age, right?
That's correct. We actually are able, at our clinic in Dallas, because of the studies that we have and the protocols that we have, we're able to treat, children and adults with facial anomalies.
Wow. That's terrific. I mean, I'm sure you've got to have really made the lives of some of these people who came in. I can only imagine when your child is disfigured, how rough that is. It has to be rewarding to you to see the results, I would think.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you get up every day knowing that you have the opportunity to do some really good for people, especially kids, because the relationship I have with many of my patients lasts 18 to 20 years, so I get to watch them grow up and do lots of different neat things.
Very cool. Dr. David, I want to tell everyone, check out this website for more info on this. It's biolifecellbank.com. Thanks, as always, for coming on America Tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you, Kate.